Well, good morning again, everyone. Hey, this is Lemon McGarrity coming to you with another broadcast of the Truth Will Set You Free program. I'm just sitting in from Leon this morning, my brother Leon, and wanted to continue talking about the subject that I started 2 weeks ago, and that was, what does it mean to be reconciled to God? How do we achieve that? And we're going to continue talking about it today, and hopefully I can make things a little bit clearer than the last program that I did 2 weeks ago. But before I get to today's message, I need to make an important announcement. The Biblical Research Association is hosting a Pentecost weekend. That's going to be June 4th through the 5th. We'll be up there at Patterson Park Center on Martin Luther King Boulevard there in Murfreesboro, Georgia. I'll be there on the 5th and speaking about the kingdom of God and becoming a part of the family of God, taking upon us the divine nature. And on the 5th, Michael Dearing, whom you just heard last week on this program, will be there. Michael and I both would love to see all of you come out and have a discussion with us. Bring your Bibles and let's talk about some things about our God, our Creator, and what He's done for us. And the meaning of this day, the specific time of God, this is an appointed time God has set aside for us to come before Him every year and memorialize the giving of the Holy Spirit. We read about that in Acts chapter 1 and 2 there, where the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles. And from that point on, they were new creatures in God. They went forth proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God. So, sisters and brothers, come on out and join us. And again, we look forward to having a good time. So bring your family and anyone else, your friends that may have questions concerning the Word of God, and let us talk about it. So again, that's June 4th through the 5th, Pentecost weekend, right there at Patterson Park Center on Martin Luther King Boulevard there in Murfreesboro. So I look forward to seeing you. In fact, I'm anxious to see you. So please write that on your calendar. Now, back to today's message. You know, we were talking last time about the importance of being reconciled to God. And I was talking primarily to the ministers because, see, the ministers that are supposed to be the ones who keep us on the straight and narrow. Ministers are supposed to be giving us the instructions from God on how to live a righteous life. Remember, we talked about how the Holy Spirit would come there. It's recorded in John 16, verse 8 there, how the Holy Spirit comes. It would convict the world of sin. And we know that sin, according to John, 1 John 3, 4, sin is lawlessness. So it convicts the world of lawlessness, how they are violating God. And the Holy Spirit, we talked about righteousness. The Holy Spirit helps us because our righteousness is as filthy rags, as it says back there in Isaiah. So we can't do anything on our own to make ourselves righteous. And the only way that we could be made righteous is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we are saved by His life. And judgment, that's another aspect of what the Holy Spirit does. It helps us to make right decisions and judgments concerning what we as individuals who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ should do and how we should live our lives. And I also talked about how down through the ages, ministers, men who claim to be representatives of Jesus Christ, have misled and twisted and distorted the Word of God and led people contrary to the way of God. There's a scripture that's located in Mark, chapter 7, starting there in verse 6. And we're going to read that scripture for you. And it's important for us to understand. And Jesus is pretty clear here in making the statement that he made. And some people don't believe Jesus, but Jesus himself says that you can worship him in vain. And that's what the majority of Christians are doing today. 95% of those who claim to be Christians in the modern day Christian community are worshiping Jesus Christ in vain. Mark 7, verse 6. Look what Jesus says here. And he says to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honor me with their lips.'" They talk a good game. And they got all the good words. They got all the right words. But their hearts is far from me. In other words, what they're doing is not sincere. But in vain do they worship me. There it is. Jesus Christ is pretty clear there, isn't he? He says, in vain do they worship me. Look what they how they're doing it. Why are they worshiping him in vain? Teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. Men down through the ages have twisted and distorted the word of God and led people away from God as opposed to God. He said, look what it says here. Neglecting the commandments of God. This is verse 8. Neglecting the commandments of God, you hold to the traditions of men. Now, that's why Paul made the statement back there in Colossians 2, verse 8. And he's talking about don't get caught up in the philosophy of men. We'll read it there. And people say Paul is the one who says that God's laws are done away with and we are under grace and we no longer have to be concerned about keeping God's appointed times and whatnot. And all we have to do is profess Jesus and we're saved. Jesus is the end of the law and all of that kind of stuff. But is that true? And hopefully we're going to get to the answer to that question for you today, too. But I'm trying to get over here to Colossians 2 and see what Paul says here. And he follows Jesus Christ's examples. He follows the very thought that Jesus Christ was putting forth there in Mark 7. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive. Colossians 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive. Okay, through philosophy and empty deception, okay, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. You see, Jesus Christ put it out there and says that you people can worship me in vain and you're doing it because you're setting aside the commandments of God. You hold on to the traditions of men. Here, Paul backs up what Jesus Christ says. And he says, see to it. Don't get caught up in the philosophy and empty deceit of men. Because they are not teaching according to Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the head of the body. And he gives the instruction. He's the captain. All authority had been given to him by the Father. And so if we want to be righteous in the eyes of God, we have to be following in the footsteps of Jesus, you see. And this is a terrible thing that ministers have done over the years. They have lied and twisted, and they did it out of ignorance. I have to give them the credit, They've done it out of ignorance because God has not revealed to them the truth. See, you just can't come to Jesus Christ and say, hey, well, I'm going to be a Christian today and start calling on the name of Jesus and professing to be under grace and all of that. But see, that's not what Jesus Christ was all about. Jesus Christ was all about being disciplined, being committed to God. Not just with your lips, but with your heart and in your mind. We read the scripture back there in Hebrews 10 where it talks about that, where Jesus Christ has written the laws of God on the hearts and minds of those who are in his covenant today, this new covenant that preachers like to talk about. Okay, we are a part of the new covenant, the spiritual aspect of God's people. That's who we are. You see, Israel was the physical nation of God's people, and they were to be an example to the world. We are to be an example to the world. There's a scripture back there in Matthew 5, I think at verse 20, where it talks about the church being a light set up on a high hill that cannot be hidden. Sisters and brothers, as Christians, we're supposed to be the guiding light. We're supposed to show the example of God's life in ours, you see, because Jesus Christ is living his life in us by the Holy Spirit. And most people claim the Holy Spirit as some kind of separate God, that's independent of God the Father and Jesus Christ, not knowing, again, out of ignorance, that Jesus Christ and the Father are the Holy Spirit. It is their spirit that indwells us once we commit ourselves to Jesus Christ and the Father, that we can walk in obedience, doing those things that are right in their sight. So think about this, sisters and brothers. What minister has told you that you've heard that would point you to God's Sabbath, God's appointed times, the Passover, the days of unleavened bread, the day of Pentecost, okay, the Feast of Pentecost, and the day of trumpets, and atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles? These are days appointed by God that we as his followers, as believers in Jesus Christ, should observe as memorials to the plan of God. You see, sisters and brothers, the appointed times of God is the whole gospel message. It talks about what Jesus Christ did for us. He passed over our sins. And it talks about once we've accepted him and his shed blood, then we are to live a life patterned after his life, and that's during the days of unleavened bread. We're supposed to be putting sin out of our lives and ingesting, taking on more and more and more of the nature of Jesus Christ, you see. And then after the days of unleavened bread, here we come to the point that we're talking about today, the giving of the Holy Spirit. And that's what took place on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell upon them and they became new creatures in God. And as they went forth, thousands and thousands of people were drawn to the Word of God and accepted the blood of Jesus Christ and were given an opportunity to become new creatures and gain eternal life. And we can only get that if we are walking in the light of the Lord, following the example of Jesus Christ, doing those things that are right in his sight. But ministers today have no regard. They totally disregard the word of Jesus, you see. And here is another scripture that we can point to point that out. It's over here in Matthew 7. Let's go over there, Matthew 7. In verses 21. And this is important too, because it's talking to ministers. It's talking to these ministers that are out here lying in the name of Jesus. And that's what Jesus Christ said. Remember, we talked about that. Matthew 24, where Jesus Christ said, many, many will come in my name saying that I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You see, they're coming out speaking in the name of Jesus, but without authority, because they have not been granted by God or given the Holy Spirit to lead them in the truth. So they come up with vain imaginations of their own, and they teach this to the people. Look at here, Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. Jesus Christ says this here, and he's clear again in making this point. And I don't see how ministers have overlooked it throughout the years. They've overlooked the scripture right here. Look at verse 21, Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. How about that? That goes along with what he said there in Matthew, talking about in vain, in Mark 7, talking about in vain do they worship me. Now think about this, sisters and brothers. These words aren't put here just for the sake of filling space on a page. They're there for our admonition, sisters and brothers. And men who claim to be followers of Jesus, ministers of Jesus, have turned us aside from the truth and to follow lies. Look what it says, okay? Starting over again here, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Look what he said. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? You know who these are. These preachers. These so-called apostles and evangelists that are going around spewing lies in the name of Jesus. It says right here, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Well, people say, well, the reason Christ is saying that because they were lying and stuff. But you know, when you look back in the time and when Israel was in Egypt and Moses and Aaron were sent to Pharaoh and to prove that they were from God, Moses had Aaron throw down his staff and, you know, Pharaoh had his magicians come out and do the very same thing, turn their staffs into snakes. And it just goes to show you, Satan can work miracles as well. He can do things. He can counterfeit those things of God. And that's what he's done down through the ages. He's counterfeited the true religion, the true gospel message, you see. And this is what Jesus Christ is saying here. He said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles. And then, here's the kicker right here. This is what Jesus Christ has to say to all these people who come before him claiming to have done things in his name. Look what he says right here in verse 23. And then he says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Think about that. You who practice lawlessness. So, and that's what these preachers are preaching today, that we no longer are under the law of God, not understanding what it means to be under the law. And to be under the law means that you are guilty. You are under the punishment that you deserve as a result of violating God's law. And you know scriptures that talk about the soul that sinneth shall die. And that is the punishment for sin, death, you see. That's why Christ died. He died so man could have an opportunity to achieve eternal life, you see. That's what God did. That's not what man did. God has made it available for us through his Son that we could have an opportunity for life if we choose to obey God, do those things that are right in his sight. And that's what Jesus Christ is talking about here. You all went out and said all those things in my name. You went out and did all this stuff and baptizing people and traveling all across the sea and land, making proselytes and making them twice the son of hell, okay, as they were. You see? That's what God told the Pharisees. Jesus Christ told the Pharisees that. And that's what men are doing today. How many of them got jet planes and big entourages when they go places and stuff like that? Talking about they need these things to go and proclaim the gospel. Well, Jesus Christ proclaimed the gospel on foot. And guess what? The gospel was preached in the whole world. They didn't have airplanes. All they had was their feet and donkeys and things of that nature. But they did the job. And here in modern day, we got people that got jet planes, big cars and all that stuff. And they jetting around the world, making proselytes and making them twice the sun as hell as they are. Now, sisters and brothers, that's a bad indictment on preachers. I read the scripture back there where Jesus Christ was talking about the shepherd. And Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. He was talking about his shepherds back here in Jeremiah 23. And I read some of the scriptures there where God was talking about these men who were running and he didn't send them. Okay, saying things that he didn't say, preaching things from their own imagination, and not turning the people back to God, you see. And that's what being reconciled means. Reconciled means to be put back into divine favor. God has a particular way that he wants his followers and people to live, you see. And if we're living that way, then God will bless us. Look what it says here in Exodus, you know, back here in Exodus 20. And I know most people said, well, that's Old Testament. But, you know, this is one book. This Bible is one book. It's not separated. It's not divided. Okay. It's all one book written by the same Spirit, you see. So we can't separate it. Because what God says here in the beginning is what God intended to be understood in the ending of this book. God wants us to obey him and to love him. And this is what he says. He says he loves those who keep his commandments and do those things that are in, right in his sight. Look at Exodus 20, and we're going to go to verse 5 and 6. And read what we're going to break in here in verse 5. If I can ever get over here, because to Exodus 20, we're going to look at verse 5 here. And here's what God says. This is how we love God. This is how God wants us to love him. Breaking into part verse 5 here, he says, I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. This is what God is saying. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. See, the blessings come from being obedient. And that's why we were given God's Holy Spirit to discipline us in the way of God, to write God's laws on our hearts and our minds, that we can be obedient children of God, you see. And one of the things that is imperative for us is to who accept the blood of Jesus. This is imperative. Now, if we accept the shed blood of Jesus that covers our sin, then we have to stop sinning. That's where this word repentance comes in. Now, over here in Matthew 5, I want to read that, Matthew 5 and verse 17. Because, see, here's a scripture that ministers use to say that that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law so we don't have to do it anymore. Now, this is Matthew 5, and we're going to start reading here in verse 17. Look at what Jesus Christ says again. Now, Jesus Christ is very clear in making the statements that he's making here, and they have been totally overlooked by the professing ministers of today. And look what he says right here. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. He didn't come to do away with God's laws or anything that the prophets prophesied that to take place. In fact, he came to fulfill. Now, people look at that word and say, well, see, there it is. He fulfilled the law. We don't have to do it anymore. But really, is that what Jesus Christ is saying there? You know what this word fulfill means? Means to accomplish, okay? It means to honor a contract, you see? Just like he says, Jesus Christ did not come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill. Fulfill what? It has to be something different from abolish. He didn't come to abolish the law. It has to be something different from that. Look what he says right here in verse 18 and 19. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, a jot or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. When will all things be accomplished, sisters and brothers? It will all be accomplished when Jesus Christ hands the kingdom back over to the Father. We can read about it there in Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. You see, where God the Father comes down on earth. His headquarters is going to be right here on earth, and he will rule from this planet. And those who have accepted Jesus, and those who are walking in the light that Jesus shined, they shall be a kingdom of priests in the kingdom of our God. Look at Revelation 5, verse 10. I think that's where that says that. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time because I've got some other things I'm going to say here, but read it for yourself. What was Jesus Christ implying that he came to fulfill? We can read about it over there in Luke chapter 24 and verses 44. He came and fulfilled everything that was written in the scriptures concerning him. That's what he came to fulfill. In Deuteronomy 18 verse 15, Moses says that God is going to raise up someone like him. And it is to him that we should listen to. And in Isaiah 9, verse 6, it talks about the child shall be born and the government shall rest upon his shoulders, talking about Jesus Christ. These are the things that he fulfilled, not doing away with the law. So, sisters and brothers, think about it. God wants you to walk according to his instructions, not the ways of the world, or following the concept or precepts of men. Well, let me close for right now. I'm running out of time. I wanted to say some other things, but I want to remind you once again about Pentecost weekend coming up on June 4th and 5th. We're going to start speaking there on June 5th at 12 o'clock at Patterson Park Center. That's on the June 4th and 5th. So we look forward to you all seeing you all there. And as always, as Leon, Michael, and I say, prove all things, hold fast to that which is true, because the truth will set you free. The only thing that keeps us in bondage is lies.